Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. It is so good to see you. Welcome this morning. If you're new, welcome to New Life Church. It's a privilege to have you with us this day in worship. Say hi to you on the internets watching us from those places where you are. Welcome. It's good to see you. Thank you for being with us. Let me invite you to turn to your Bibles two places today. New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and Old Testament, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We'll start here in a moment in 2 Corinthians 4. Here at New Life, it's our aim, our mission to make and keep Jesus as best as we can, keep him front and center in our lives, our church, and make a light and be a beacon of hope here in this community. That Jesus Christ is our hope and our Savior. This morning, we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 4 as we get ready to get into that. I had planned to do a whole nother message today on one of our core values and studied through it, made all my notes, closed it all up. Next day, I woke up and did not have peace about it. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? Why do you do this to me, the one who likes things planned out? And so he had woken me up last Sunday with this particular Psalm 139 that we're going to get into here in a moment, and I didn't know what it was about at that moment. We had done a series on prayers about 3 years ago in the summer. Our summer series was on prayers, and Psalm 139 was one of those. And so I just went back and pulled my notes and just kind of left it in my notebook and thought, well, maybe he's just something that's maybe I need to look at it. And I did. I looked at it for myself and then put it away. And then I studied for the other message and did not feel content when I woke up midweek and I wrestled with it. I thought, I like what I have studied, Lord. I like this. And this is where we need to talk about this. And we need to go through this particular core value. And I look back at that Psalm 139. I read through it in a couple different translations. And I was like, gosh, that's a good one. That's a good one. But no, I don't think so. I'm going to stick to my notes. I'm going to stick to what I had planned. And I'm telling you all this because the confliction of what happens can happen in a week. I want to know that the menu of the word of the bread is what God is wanting to serve you. And so I said, okay, Lord, I will preach what you want me to preach. And I need you to just give me some reassurance that I'm not being double-minded here, that I'm actually hearing what you're saying and that. So I had a conversation with someone the next day, and not talking about this, it just in the conversation, they said a line, they said a word, and it just hit me, and I thought, okay, God, I hear you. You're good. You got me. So I carried on, and this is where we are today in this text. So let's pick it up in 2 Corinthians 4. It's a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote. Verse 7. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. I typically preach out of the New Living, but we just started to look at it in this light today. Verse 7, it says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, can you say pressure? Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do. Thankfully, he has this comma and but. Quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, comma, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, comma, but not knocked out. Verse 10, we, not sometimes, but continually, share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies on this earth, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. Would you pray with me over this today? Oh Lord, as the song we just sang, we need you. Every hour we need you. Even when we're not thinking about you, our heart still longs for you and cries out, we need you. And we especially need you when we feel the weight of life, the pressures of life, pushing down on us, pushing against us with resistance, trying to disqualify us and get us off track. So today, speak to us through your word. Fill my mouth with your word. Let our lives receive your word, and may you get glory through it and in us and through us. In Jesus' name, you can say amen. Amen. Did you know that you are under an intense amount of pressure right now? Literally, the atmosphere is pushing down at 14.7 pounds per square inch of pressure on you right now. Every square foot is under approximately 2,117 pounds of atmospheric pressure. Literally, we are all under a ton of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. Not just under atmospheric pressure, our lives, but we are under real life pressure. If we could see right now the thoughts in our mind were displayed like you can see on a cartoon or on a TV show, at times you're seeing what someone's thinking and they write it out and it bubbles and little thing pops up and you can see what they're thinking. If we could see that right now, we would see all the things that we're worried about. We would see all the things that we're thinking about. We would see all the things that have us plagued with pressure. Things that are on our mind. Things that are resisting us. Things that are pushing down on us and against us. We would see all those things. They're all reality. We all are under an intense amount of pressure. I'm sure we can probably say we have discovered that life does not get easier. We like to hope it does. We have those respite times and the respite seasons where it feels lighter and there's some peace and there's not a struggle and there's not a war, there's not a battle, there's not a bad phone call, there's not an issue, there's not a conflict. But then it seems to just get right back into it again. And Paul right here talks about it. 10 years ago today, this weekend, we held our first worship service here. 10 years ago. If you asked me 10 years ago, will you still be here 10 years later? I would say absolutely not. We're going to be in our own place. We're going to have our own facility and our own, all the things will have already come to pass. All the words of God, that God has spoken to us would have already happened. 10 years ago, prior to that 10 years ago when we started, when we sold our former property, moved and began our debt elimination journey and realignment and refocus and all of those things, a little over two years prior to that, I was feeling the pressure of leading this church. And every Wednesday for 2 years, I would pray in our old sanctuary. A lot of you remember, give me that hand, you remember what that sanctuary was like. You remember those days, right? You remember what it looked like, those pews. Well, I would pray every Wednesday in that sanctuary for 2 years. Asking God to guide, asking God to help, asking God to provide, asking God for all kinds of miracles. I even did the the Jericho march around the sanctuary. We did it as a church, I think, once or twice, just in faith, believing for some change, believing for greater things from the Lord. And that at the end of the 2 years, I didn't mark that beginning and end of 2 years. God did. And at the end of that, when it came, the spring of 2013, I walked out of the sanctuary and I felt that God had put a green light in front of me for our church to begin to look at the possibility of doing what we did, to sell, move, and begin our debt elimination and different changes that we made as a church. And I went into Pastor Prentice's office at the time, and I said, here's what I think the Lord is doing. And I didn't realize he, at the same time, was getting a similar word from the Lord. 2 years. There would be many Wednesdays he and I would go in there together and pray and just lay before the Lord and cry out to God together, praying for you, praying for the organizational part of the church, the spiritual aspect of the church. And we met with our board, and the board's like, yeah, let's look at that. Then began a 9-month journey of just waiting. Waiting for a buyer, waiting around to see. We didn't put it on the market, but a buyer came forth. We began those meetings and began those negotiations over 9 months. It took a lot longer than I wanted it to. Then at the end of the 9 months, we came to the attorney's office. We closed and signed and sold, and then we began moving here and getting set up here and getting reestablished 10 years ago. Man, I remember one night I got a call from the bank before the week we were going to close. And they were like, it's not looking good. The buyer's there, but if you remember, we had to still have a small loan to do all our final transactions. And the bank was like, well, I don't think they're going to, the bank has changed their mind. They said they don't want to do it anymore. And I'm like, well, that's not going to be good. So I got off the phone call and paced my floor in my bedroom and prayed. And it was one of those midnight hour prayers. And I was like, God, this is the week we're supposed to go do all these things. I was feeling the pressure. And I knew God was moving us in the direction we were going. But there was resistance. And it was hard. And I'm like, what are we going to do? We've got nearly $1.3 million that we're responsible for, that technically I am. My name is on that. What are we going to do? You said this. Are you going to do it? I got a call the next day. The banker said, you know, they all changed their mind. They said, we're going to do it. It's not a problem. Just come to the table and sign. It's all good. Worked it all out. The rest is history, so to speak. Our church has been debt-free since sometime in the mid of year of 2017. Praise God. We want to continue to be that way. Having a financial burden like that lifted off releases a whole lot of pressure. Relieves a whole lot of pressure. Some of you that were on our finance committee in those years, Gary and the others, you remember all of our long meetings? Man, the pressure. We all feel it. I've had lots of other pressures since then. I've got 3 kids now. That's no pressure at all, right? You and I face and deal with lots of pressures. What's the deal with these pressures? Paul says we're like these common clay jars, fragile. But yet inside of this common clay jar, this fragile jar, is this glorious treasure. God puts a glorious treasure inside of a fragile jar. And he says we go through and experience all these different pressures of life, but we're not crushed. We deal with it. We go through it, we experience, but we're not quitting, he says. That's not an option. There's reminders, God is with you. You get knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Some of us may feel like I've been knocked down and I don't think I can get back up. The punch was so harsh. The blow was so hard. I got to tell you, some of you have had some really hard knocks on your life. I've been with you in those hospital rooms. I've been with you at the cemeteries. And I got to tell you, your story speaks volumes for the God you serve. The way you get knocked down, but you get back up. Why do we deal with these pressures? Why do we go through pressures of life? I mean, can we not just get saved and life be all good until heaven? Man, that's the way I would choose, right? We go through these pressures because Paul says we share in the death of Jesus in our life, our earthly bodies. We feel all of these pressures and all these blows and all these hits so that the resurrection life of Jesus would be revealed through our humanity. Because Jesus, we go through pressures because Jesus wants to be revealed out of that and through that in our life. How do we get through pressure? Well, we all deal with pressure in different ways. We all find some coping mechanisms here and there that we like. Some of it's okay and some of it's good. And some of the things we might do might not be the best thing for us. But today I want to share with you the way I believe God wants us to deal with pressure. And that is in Psalm 139. If you can, flip over there. Psalm 139. I've titled today's message, Praying While Under Pressure. This Psalm 139 was written either at the time when David was a shepherd boy, watching out for his father's countless sheep, while he was out there protecting them from the lions and the bears, and the other prey and predators that were out there. Or it was written at a time when shortly after David became the king of all of Israel. Either way you look at it, it still is a time in David's life where he was under immense and intense pressure. So what did he do? Pen this prayer in this Psalm 139. And this psalm highlights, spotlights, and really showcases three divine attributes of God: His omnipresence, His omniscience, and His omnipotence. God being all-knowing, God being all-powerful, and God being all-present. We're going to look at it in the order of omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent as the scripture text flows. Let's look at this. Psalm 139:1. David acknowledges God as the omniscient one, the all-knowing one. And why this is so, so important. How do we get through our pressure and the pressures of life? We acknowledge God's divine attributes that are not just associated and floating around in heaven, but through relationship in Jesus Christ, we're connected with God our Father, and therefore the relationship we have brings to us from heaven down to earth the realities of God's involvement in our life. These three attributes. Verse 1. You with me? Lord, David says, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak. And before I even start a sentence, he says, you know every step I will take before my journey even begins. Verse 5, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. Why do we get so caught up in needing to know what's down the road? God already has it. And in kindness, man, I love this, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You don't have to show your hand, but answer in your heart. Does your past try to haunt you and harm you from time to time? It says, with your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. David, feeling the pressure of life, either at a time when he was in a place of protecting the sheep of the pasture or protecting the sheep of Israel, the people, he was feeling the pressure. How do I handle this? What do I do? I don't know. This is more dangerous than I thought. This is harder than I expected. Help me, Lord. What do I do? And he acknowledges God's omniscience. God, you know all there is to know about me. You know what I'm going to say before I say it. You know what I'm thinking before I think it. That's not really fair. But yet, it's still reassuring. You know my heart. You know my journey. You know my future. And you protect me from my past. Kindness. You're with me. I acknowledge, God, in the time of, in this moment of life, that the pressure I'm facing, that I'm dealing with, that I don't know what to do. I'm acknowledging, God, the all-knowing one, you know what to do. You ever find yourself in life where you just don't know what to do, in a situation you just don't know what to do? Acknowledge the omniscience of God, that he is all-knowing, that he knows what to do. So what does David do? Verse 6, he embraces it. He just welcomes it into his life, the omniscience of God. He says this in verse 6, this is just too wonderful. This is just too deep and too incomprehensible. In other words, it's mind-blowing, God. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. David embraces at a time in his life when he was feeling so heavy from the pressures that he was facing, that he just embraces the omniscience of God, that God, you know all there is to know, and it blows my mind that you know it all. It's too wonderful, too deep, too incomprehensible, and so I'm just going to embrace it. And when he embraces it, he says, it brings me strength. It brings me strength. Paul had a way of saying it this way, that in my weakness, Christ is made strong in me. That I boast not in my strength, but I boast in my weakness, because I need the strength of God to be big in my life. Any of you face a time in life, maybe right now, where you just don't know what to do? Lean in, surrender, and embrace that God knows all there is to know And what we find is greater strength. Because when we don't know what to do, God knows what to do. And when we let God do what He wants to do, our lives end up going where they need to go. Secondly, David acknowledges God as omnipresent, the all-present one, verse 7. He says, "Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting." David acknowledges, "God, there is not a place on this earth I could go. I can't dig a hole deep enough. I can't climb a tree high enough. I can't hide in any cave dark enough. I can't, whatever, wherever I go, God, I acknowledge you're there everywhere. You are omnipresent. You are all present everywhere." David discovers in my weakness, in my turmoil, in my pressure, and as the lion attacks the fold, as the bear attacks the fold, as I face Goliath, as I'm sitting there on my throne as the king of Israel, God, and I need to give guidance and wisdom to these people. After I have to make a lot of decisions, people I'm responsible for, I have to make quick decisions, I have to think about things that I have to do, all of life. God, you're everywhere. You're in every moment. You're in every situation. And we might ask ourselves, well, if God was there, then why did that happen? If He knew, why didn't He prevent that? Because we serve Jesus does not mean we are excused from pressure. But in pressure, it's so that the resurrection, the life of Jesus, the resurrected one, and His name, what a wonderful name, what a powerful name, what a beautiful name we sang about, so that His name and His person and His power could be displayed in our humanity. How did you overcome that? How did you get through that? How did you deal with bankruptcy? How did you deal with death? How did you deal with that problem? How did you deal with that sickness? How did you deal with that conflict? How did you deal with that divorce? How did you deal with that demotion? How did you deal, whatever, fill in the blank. How did you deal with that? I rested in and trusted in God's omniscience and God's omnipresence in my life, that He goes before me and He follows behind me and He is with me every step of the way. David, what did he do after acknowledging? Verse 10, "Wherever I go, your hand will guide me." Guidance. "Your strength will empower me." Empowerment. "It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night." Anybody's night of life ever feel like it doesn't want to end? So there's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. David acknowledged, but David embraced. And that's when we embrace this attribute of God, that's where it gets personal and it gets real. David embraced and he found that God would guide him, God would empower him, that God would light his path. Unfortunately, I feel like worry and fear and anxiety seems to be on the multiplication table of a lot of people's lives. Probably more so than ever before. In other generations, you may be able to speak to it in a different light. But a lot of people are worried about life. A lot of people are fearful about the future. A lot of people are fearful about missing out on something. So they say yes to everything. Or they just say no to everything and do miss out on some things. People are anxious these days. It's all real. It's always been around. But it just seems to be heightened. It seems to be more multiplied in life these days. And we are so trying to figure out what our future looks like, what it can look like. We know what we would like it to be. We hope what it would look like. But we can't always figure every single thing out. We cannot always know every scenario. We cannot always know every situation. If this happens, then I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do this. I've got it planned here. I got it planned there. And we have all these things, different things working in our minds and our brains and on a 10-year vision plan board and all this other stuff, if you like that, or whatever. And then others, we're just like, I'm just going along with life. I'm cool. God knows. There are going to be times in our life where we really just don't know where to go from here. We're just not going to know where to go from here. You're not going to know where to go. Where do I go from here? What do I do from this moment, this crisis, this situation, this hardship, this pressure? Embrace the omnipresence of God, that He goes before and He follows behind. And wherever He is, He's everywhere. He knows where to take you. And lastly, David acknowledges God as omnipotent, the all-powerful one. Verse 13. You guys still with me this morning? It says, "You formed me. You formed my innermost being. You were shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. And I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex." Every one of us are complex people. Every single one of us. Mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. You need to know that about your life. God looks at you. You are marvelously breathtaking. You handsome dudes. Beautiful females. God made us. God called us good. He likes what He created. He's in love with what He created. "It simply amazes me to think about it," he says. "How thoroughly you know me, Lord," because we all kind of know our faults pretty well, most of them. We have some blind spots that I'm sure somebody sitting next to you doesn't mind pointing out. It says, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully, shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Folks, God has a plan for our lives that is amazing. That it has mixed in with it pressure. Because of what He has formed in us and who He wants to be expressed from us. This glorious treasure, Jesus. David acknowledges God is omnipotent, the all-powerful one. He's able to do this, and he does this, that he sees God as perfect in his power. God is the only one who has all power but does not abuse it. Doesn't abuse his power. So what does David do? He finds comfort when he embraces the omnipotent, all-powerful connection that he has with God. In verse 17, he says, every single moment, this is pretty cool. You ever wonder if anybody thinks of you? Every single moment, God, you are thinking of me. He's thinking of you every single moment. When you're crying, when you're hurting, when you're laughing, when you're enjoying a good meal, when you're working, when you're driving, when you're sitting in class, taking a test, when you're at the lunch table, when you're in the hallway, when you sign for soccer. How cool is that? Can I say that? Jack Young, this last Wednesday, about to graduate from Madison Academic High School, just signed to play soccer for Union University. And we've got two other students that made quite a few accomplishments this week that I know of. That won in unions. I don't know the exact contest other than it's poetry, right? Lauren Levins won first place in Union University's poetry contest. And I apologize if I'm butchering what it's called. Creative writing, that's much better, thank you. That's why I did not write a psalm. That's why I read them and it ministers to me. And Colson Bailey won third place. Is that right? First and third, right here in our congregation. How cool is that? God is perfect in how he made you. Perfect in how he made you. And he loves it when you express him in your giftings and your talents. He's your biggest fan. In fact, there's a whole lot of other people cheering for you here and there, rooting for all of us, every single one of us from young to old, to fulfill what God has called us to do on this planet. And man, this thing called pressure wants to knock the breath out of us, wants to crumble us, wants to buckle our knees with a mean right hook. And if you're a southpaw from the left side, it wants to get everything in us to be down. But there is this one person that it could never keep down, and that is the name and the person of Jesus. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Hell could not keep him. He rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And he wants to be expressed and shown in our very lives. No matter what. The all-powerful one. David embraces him and he finds comfort that when I lack the ability to make something happen, when I lack the resources, when I lack the knowledge, even times when I don't have all of it going on and working for me, God has the ability to pick up our slack. God has already factored into his sovereignty our stupidity. I can be stupid. I know no one else can, so I will not even try to point a finger. But God has factored it all in. He's perfect in his power. And I love the fact every single moment he's thinking of me. His desires toward me are more than the grains of the sand. When I wake each morning, he says, "You're still with me." It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. There's going to be times in our life where we lack the ability, but God can do it. God can do it. When I got that call 10 years ago, that the bank said, "No, it's not going to happen," God said, "Let me just show you something. It will happen." And he made it happen. God can make things happen. God can open a door that no other person can open for you. And God can close a door that no other person can make happen. God can. God can. God can. So where do we go from here? David goes on this little journey for the next few verses, 19 through 22. And he starts to tell the Lord, "God, I got all these enemies in my life. I got all these things coming against me, these hard to deal with situations. Now I want you to know how I feel about it. I want you to know what's really on my heart and what's really on my mind." Question, what is hard to deal with in your life right now? Think about it. What is hard to deal with in your life right now? Like David, just let God know what it is and how you feel about it. Because I believe it'll lead to this conclusion in verse 23 and 24. David concludes, "God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through and find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain that I'm walking on. Am I still walking around wounded and hurt? Lead me back, God, out of this to your glorious everlasting ways. The path that brings me back to you. Bring me back to there. Bring me back to there." David got to the conclusion that with all his pressures, with all his things that he was dealing with, he arrived at this conclusion. "I'm in relationship with the one who knows everything, who is everywhere, and who has all the power. So no matter what I face, no matter what I deal with, no matter what resistance or pressures on my life, I have the one who knows it all, who is around everything, and has something and has the power to do something about it. Friends, you and I have the same connection in Christ Jesus to our God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and who is everywhere." Let me invite you to stand. That little did David know, several hundred years later, in the book of Acts, Acts 13, Luke writes that David served the purposes of God in his generation. The New Testament people were looking back on the Old Testament life of David, and they were testifying, "Hey, this David who faced all the things he faced and had all the pressure, he actually fulfilled God's purpose for his life and his generation." I think, man, that'd be something, that's one of the greatest things somebody can say about us 100 years later after we're gone, is that that person, they actually fulfilled the purpose of God. I know they dealt with this, wrestled with that, fought that, had this, messed with this, in and out of that, all the things, but they fulfilled the purpose of God in their life. We need to get to that same conclusion that David got. We need to live every day with that same conclusion. God is all-knowing. God is everywhere. God is all powerful. Those three divine attributes are not meant to stay in heaven and in the throne room. In Christ Jesus, they are activated into us, and they become a force to be reckoned with on our behalf. God is at work in you. Romans 8:28, God is able to work everything out for good for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. This morning, we're just going to close with this song, Lord, I Need You. And as we sing this song, I want to invite you to some reflection and to prayer. That whatever pressure you're dealing with and facing right now, you're not alone. God wants to bring some reassurance and comfort to your life and encouragement to your heart that you're not alone. But as we sing this, I'm going to invite you to sing it in reflection of what you're facing. And then if you would like prayer for anything that you're dealing with, myself and some other leaders will be down front to pray with you personally about this today. Lord, we need you, and we come before you, and we acknowledge all these things that your word teaches us. May we see and feel and experience the reality of your attributes at work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.